Hello and welcome. This is DW News live from Berlin. As the European Union celebrates 60 years of peace and prosperity, there's been a show of popular support in several cities, including London. But the future is uncertain. The EU faces a string of challenges, including Brexit and a surge of nationalism that's shaken its confidence. In Iraq, government forces paused their advance on Mosul amid reports of mounting civilian casualties in the battle to retake Islamic State's last stronghold in the country. And in football, Germany are gearing up for their World Cup qualifier against Azerbaijan on Sunday. Victory would take them a step closer to qualifying for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. My name is Christopher Springate. Good to have you with us. Thousands of people have been marching across Europe today to voice their support for the European Union, many of them keen to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the bloc's founding at a time when the EU is facing tough challenges. This was the scene earlier today here in Berlin, but we start our coverage in the Italian capital, Rome, the city where the EU's founding treaty was signed.
The signs are in multiple languages, but the message is the same. Here in Rome, where the treaties that gave birth to the European Union were signed, these demonstrators back the bloc. We are here because we believe in the European dream. Like never before, today we need more Europe. This dream of the EU must be completed. For some Brits living in the city, anger over Brexit remains.
I think the EU is a very, very important union, and I think Britain is making the most dreadful mistake to pull out of it. So I'm very ashamed of Britain.
These sentiments were echoed by thousands more in London.
Well, mainly people want to show that they want to stay inside the European Union. One of their slogans is, we are the 48%, referring to the 48% of voters who have voted to remain. But there are not only remain voters here at this demo, there are also people who have voted for Brexit, but they were promised a Brexit that would keep close ties with the EU intact, and not the kind of Brexit that seems to be on the cards right now with Theresa May threatening a so-called hard Brexit. All these people are worried about their jobs, they're worried about the economy, they're worried about their children's future.
EU colors here too in Berlin, where demonstrators symbolically knocked down a wall of cardboard boxes at the very location where the city was once divided. Nearly 6,000 people gathered to praise what many call the greatest peace project ever created.
Well, I'm very, very grateful to the generations that came before me that really worked very closely together to create Europe and what it stands for democracy, for freedom, and especially for peace, that there hasn't been any wars between the countries in the EU ever. So I think that's the greatest achievement.
Others acknowledge the issues facing the bloc today. We want to distance ourselves from this nationalism that means egoism and that has never brought our continent forward. Despite challenges, supporters say 60 years of the European Union is only cause for celebration.
Well, in the meantime, EU leaders were also marking that 60th anniversary of the European Union. Meeting in Rome, they signed a two-page declaration pledging to make the EU stronger and more resilient. The declaration also recognises that the bloc needs greater flexibility. We will act together, it says, at different paces and intensity where necessary, while moving in the same direction. All this just 4 days before Britain triggers the process that will lead to its exit from the EU. Now, police in Belarus have arrested hundreds of protesters taking part in a banned rally in the country's capital, Minsk. Over the last 2 months, the Eastern European country has seen a wave of demonstrations against its authoritarian president, Alexander Lukashenko.
A clear display of brute force. Belarusian security forces retook control of the capital, Minsk, with shields, batons and water cannons. Streets leading to the demonstration were blocked. Subway stations were closed. And there were scenes like this everywhere. Human rights groups say over 400 people were arrested, among them international observers and journalists. Nevertheless, protesters showed they're becoming less and less afraid of their authoritarian president. Why should we be afraid? We've already experienced terrible things. We're retirees. If they hit us, we'll just die. It was a day of nationwide protest in Belarus. The opposition rally in Minsk was initially approved by authorities, then late on Friday night, declared illegal. President Alexander Lukashenko, who has ruled the country with an iron fist since 1994, accused opposition groups of stockpiling weapons. People had mostly taken to the streets to protest the so-called anti-parasite law. The proposed law, which is a direct decree from President Lukashenko, would see anyone who works less than 6 months a year forced to pay an extra tax. This government treats us like slaves. It's not interested in us in the slightest. There could be something brewing in Belarus, and it's something that can't be stopped with batons and water cannons.
The US military has acknowledged its forces were responsible for an airstrike on the Iraqi city of Mosul that witnesses say left at least 100 people dead. American defense officials haven't confirmed that number, but the Pentagon has launched an investigation into the incident. UN officials earlier expressed concerns over reports of a high number of civilian casualties during recent fighting. Iraqi government forces have reacted by pausing their military offensive to retake Mosul, from Islamic State militants.
This is where they sought shelter. But now the building is in ruins, and the residents who were hiding inside, dead. They were fleeing the Islamic State group, but they were hit by coalition aircraft. There were more than 140 bodies in this house. We pulled out the bodies of children, the elderly, women, and even pregnant women. We're taking the bodies to the cemetery for burial. These people are some of those who made it out of the encircled sector of West Mosul. Some 200,000 people are believed to have fled the area since the assault began in mid-February. But the UN estimates nearly 500,000 people are still trapped there. Many who remain are being used by IS as human shields. Coalition airplanes fired on us. IS snipers go to the top of buildings that have families. Then the planes strike these buildings, killing the sniper and everyone else in the building. We were under fire, and the IS fighters wouldn't let our families out. We fled in the middle of the night. People were killed, but thank God we managed to escape. Iraqi government forces say they have now paused the operation to retake Mosul because of the high number of civilian deaths. They say they are reassessing their strategy on how best to finish the fight against IS in Iraq.
Turning now to Hong Kong, which is due to elect a new leader, the so-called chief executive, on Sunday. The former British colony is governed under a policy known as one country, two systems, whereby Hong Kong enjoys a degree of democracy under a deal sealed before the British handed the territory back to the Chinese 20 years ago. Under that scheme, the favourite to win Sunday's election is this woman here, Carrie Lam. She's a civil servant in Hong Kong who has the backing of the Chinese government. The people's favourite is this man here, John Tsang. He's a former finance chief in Hong Kong, way ahead when it comes to the opinion polls. But here's the thing, this is not a popular vote. Of Hong Kong's 7.3 million people, just under 1,200, the exact number is 1,194, should be coming up on the screen. That's the number of people who are actually allowed permitted to vote in this ballot. They belong to the Electoral Committee, which chooses Hong Kong's chief executive. Now, there is increasing discontent over this procedure. Ahead of Sunday's vote, people have been taking to the streets demanding a popular vote.
They're not concerned about the election outcome. For these protesters, the vote is unfair to begin with.
Whatever any candidate will be elected, this is not democracy. This is only a small circle election. And that is why we would like to have an assembly that we want universal suffrage.
Critics say the Electoral Committee is not representing the people's will, but China's. The select group is stacked with Beijing loyalists, very likely to choose a candidate that toes the line. For many citizens, this is a serious issue, while others say it is not a major concern.
Actually, I am not support Carrie Lam because she behaves too strong and she's only listen to the Beijing government.
I've been living in Wanchai District, and the candidate Carrie Lam has also lived here. We were neighbors. I really like her, and I hope she wins. Many in Hong Kong worry about the city's socioeconomic future. Whoever is actually elected, it's actually not a big deal to me at the end of the day. I just hope they can focus on caring for the elderly and to implement more social welfare programs. For now, there are hundreds of protesters demanding democracy in Hong Kong, but many more could take to the streets demanding change if their daily lives don't improve.
In the United States, one person has been killed and another injured in a shooting incident on the Las Vegas Strip. Police say a gunman has barricaded himself inside a double-decker bus on the city's main avenue. They also say they believe there are no other suspects. The Strip, which is lined with hotels and casinos, has been partly cordoned off. The incident came just hours after burglars hit a jewelry store in one of those casinos. Sports news for you now. We're going to take you to the Women's World Curling Championships in China, where the Russian team has secured its place in the final after seeing off Sweden. Captain Anna Sidorova got Russia off to a good start, hitting out a Swedish stone to score 2 points in the first end. Sweden fought back, though, to level the scores at 3-3. But the Russians then pulled away, scoring an unanswered 6 points to clinch the game 9-3. They now face Canada in Sunday's gold medal final. Very pleased they are about that too. Football news, dozens of World Cup qualifiers this weekend and Germany are gearing up for a match on Sunday against the surprise package in their group, Azerbaijan. A win would take Germany a step closer to qualifying for the 2018 World Cup in Russia.
Light-hearted preparations for Germany ahead of their test against Azerbaijan. They've won all four of their World Cup qualifiers and haven't conceded a single goal. Yet coach Joachim Löw is aware Azerbaijan should not be underestimated. They know how to defend and are very organised and physical. But they also know how to play in attack. They are highly motivated, especially against Germany. Löw may have injury problems, but he will still be able to call on experience. Mario Gomez will play the lone striker, Benedikt Hervidas at centre-back. And Sami Khedira will stand in as captain for the injured goalkeeper Manuel Neuer. The midfielder insists the entire team is focused. After missing out on the European Championship final, the hunger is there, especially among the younger players, but also the experienced players. To win the World Cup, you have to start early, not just in the tournament, but also in qualification. Germany's first competitive match of 2017 poses a tricky challenge. But maintaining their perfect record is more than achievable.
Finally, a charming story from Cincinnati Zoo, a baby hippo. There she is. She goes by the name of Fiona, and she's beginning to grow up. Her increasing size means she's having to become more independent and spend less time in close contact with her human guardians. She's already weighing in at 46 kilograms, so staff will soon need a barrier to protect themselves as they do with the zoo's other hippos. In the meantime, Fiona still very much enjoys playing with those humans and with the toys in her pool. Quick reminder of our top story for you. Demonstrations have been taking place across the EU to mark the bloc's 60th anniversary in London. People taking to the streets to protest against Britain's planned exit from the bloc. You're watching DW News in Berlin. We'll be back at the top of the hour, of course.